and welcome to the Well and Well podcast. I'm your host, Susie Clark, and I am a corporate dropout who spent 6 years in banking and technology in sales roles in London. And I just got totally fed up with working long hours, horrible commutes, and sitting in the same desk chair every single day. I got so fed up with it that I quit my job and moved to Bali in Indonesia. And I'm now dedicated to helping others achieve this lifestyle through remote work opportunities. And I really just want to spread the awareness around this and inspire you to live life on your own terms. So this podcast is all about sharing stories from remote workers who are fortunate enough to have crafted a life for themselves where they can make money and travel the world at the same time. So if you're listening now and you're sick of your 9-to-5 and you're fed up of your commute and you want the freedom to travel, then this podcast is for you. There are so many incredible opportunities for you to live life on your own terms and earn a living. From freelancing to becoming a digital nomad to getting a remote job and traveling the world as well, these ways of living are all possible for you. And through my guest stories, you will learn what is possible and the tips on how to get there. We're all incredibly lucky to be living in a time where technology enables us to travel and earn a living at the same time. The traditional work contract of exchanging time for money and working in the office is no longer a good deal, with so many other incredible opportunities out there. To be well in life, you need to do some wild things. This week we have Chris on. Chris is originally from the UK. He's from up north and has got one of the best accents ever. He founded Workout Away, which is a company that provide fitness holidays. And it was really born out of Chris wanting to go on a fitness holiday, and browsing around, and all he could find was kind of hardcore yoga retreats or hardcore kind of weight loss boot camp type style holidays. Whereas Chris, similarly to myself, was really interested in trying to find somewhere where you could have a bit of a balance. So you could work out in the day and work really hard, but then equally in the evening you could get dressed up and go and have a glass of wine. Whereas he found that a lot of what was on the market was all quite strict and, you know, quite on the extreme end of the spectrum. So he created Workout Away, and in this episode it's so interesting and a really insightful chat because we chat all about how he founded the company, how he started it from scratch, and how he works three jobs. So he also is cabin crew for a long-haul airline, and he also loves teaching fitness classes, so he's kept a couple of his main fitness classes going in London as well. He's a super hardworking, inspiring guy, and I know you're going to enjoy this conversation. Welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. First of all, it would be great if you could introduce yourself to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. So my name's Chris Pine. I'm 31 years old. I live in London, and I'm the creator of Workout Away Fitness Holidays. So, just to kind of take you back and to explain a little bit more about my background, I'm from the northeast of England, from a little town called Middlesbrough, which a lot of people have never heard of. It's not far from Newcastle. And I'd kind of always thought about being a flight attendant. As a kid, I was obsessed with aeroplanes. I remember my auntie used to take me to the airport on a Friday afternoon and we'd watch the planes land, and I was just obsessed with planes and travel. And even up until about, I think I was about 14, I'd never been on an aeroplane, which made me even more obsessed. Then I applied to be cabin crew at Thomas Cook in Newcastle, which wasn't too far away from where I lived. Went along to my interview, got the job, and then that's how I started out as cabin crew.
Amazing.
So I was in Newcastle for a couple of years, and then thing is with being a flight attendant is a lot of the jobs are seasonal. Okay. So you work through the summer and take everyone on holiday, and then when the winter comes, obviously not many people are going on holiday anymore. So the job usually ends usually at the end of October. So that wasn't going to work for me long term, and I thought I need something more. I need to work for an airline that's more all year round. Back then, 2009, not many flying jobs around, so I actually went to work for EasyJet at Gatwick, and I moved to London in 2010.
Nice.
Did a couple of years with EasyJet. Then went to do something still cabin crew but really different. I went to work for the MOD, so I
Yep.
was doing military flights out of RAF Brize Norton out in the out in Oxfordshire.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was when people ask me about that, I kind of say, "How long have you got?" Because it
Yeah.
was really different. We weren't flying to Barbados and Orlando. It wasn't like that at all. We were flying to some unusual places like the Falkland Islands and Ascension
Yeah.
Island, which is a tiny little place in the South Atlantic.
I think that's a really great insight into kind of your journey into being a flight attendant. And I know that now you do more kind of long haul flights as well. But let's chat a little bit about the point at which you decided to go into the fitness game. Because I remember when we were talking before, you mentioned that you were never like really overly into fitness. So at what point did that kind of come into your life?
When I was at school, so rewind back to when I was at secondary school, winter sports, I was not interested at all. I would stand at the side of the football pitch and that wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
And I would say, but when the summer would come around and we used to do athletics, I was really keen. Like the contrast couldn't have been, bigger. And I used to do long jump, high jump because I was good at it. So because I was good at something, I actually used to enjoy it. But then I would say when I left school, fitness just was not a priority. I was probably, when I was 18 years old, I was probably more interested in going out with my friends and having a good time and drinking far too much. And and just fitness. And I think things were a little bit different back then. Instagram wasn't around, so we weren't looking at fitness models every morning when we woke up, and we
Yeah.
didn't really have our set. We couldn't. We didn't have anything to compare ourselves to in the same way that we do today. And I would say, but at the same time, I think I still felt like I should be working out and, or doing some sort of exercise. So I joined Virgin Active in Ealing, or I joined a few gyms before that. And I was one of those people that would, I would join and then show up a few times and then quit and pay my membership and not even go to the gym. I'm sure
Yeah.
we've all done that.
All the good
Yeah, and then,
intentions.
yeah, exactly. And then I went to my first body pump class, and I would say that was kind of a turning point because, oh, I remember doing the warm up and thinking, this is the hardest thing I've ever done. But there was something about the class and the group effect and being in a room with a load of people that are in the same boat as you, and the instructor was, amazing. And I just I got hooked really. And that
Yeah.
wasn't, something that I would do a few nights a week, and I would show up and do the class. And I got into it because I found something that I actually, and I found exercise that I was actually enjoying. So I think that was a bit of a turning point.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I think that's like a lot of people as well that weren't necessarily like overly sporty at school. I actually really like now I don't there's a lot of like the Instagram side to fitness that I don't necessarily agree with, but I actually really like that fitness has become more available to a lot of people. It's not kind of like a minority now. And like everybody's getting into it, and there's so many different ways into it, if you know what I mean. Like there's people that prefer like CrossFit, like heavy going kind of stuff, or there's like people that prefer barre or Pilates. There's so many kind of like the barriers to entry has like gone down so much, and I think that's really great actually.
Yeah, definitely. And there's also a lot more that like there's way more options cost-wise as well. So you
Yeah.
can join a pure gym for £20 a month where you've still got access to classes, and then you can go to Barry's Bootcamp, which is more
Yeah.
like, oh, I don't know how much they charge per hour, but it's a lot more than
A
that.
lot, a lot. I
A
was hearing
lot, yeah.
that when I was
I've
in
never actually done a
London.
class, but I've heard good
Yeah.
things. But yeah, there's just a lot more you're right, it's more accessible.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so, and I know at some point then you went from being a participant to actually deciding, actually, I might quite like to lead one of these classes. So talk us through that time.
So I was kind of getting into being I was kind of getting into my classes more and more, and I would try different ones, And the more that I would go to the gym, the more I would get to know the instructors. And there was a girl called Nazreen, who was the group exercise manager at Virgin Active in Ealing. And she approached me one day and she said, "Have you ever thought about becoming an instructor? You move well, you seem to, you know, enjoy it, you look like you're having a great time." And I was a bit like, "Oh, not really." I didn't really know anybody that was a fitness instructor, so I didn't know how that would work and whether that would be something that I could combine with my job, or whether that's a full-time job, or I just really didn't have a clue. So anyway, she approached me and I thought about it and didn't really do anything about it. And then she asked me again, and by this point I'd actually started to think about it a little bit. And I think, you know, I'd been to a few classes that maybe I didn't enjoy because of the instructor, and I thought, you know, if I was taking this class, I would do this differently or whatever. And then there's like the performance element as well, because when I was younger, like before I started working, I used to be, as a kid, I used to do some, you know, I used to go to stage school and stuff.
Yes, me too. How funny.
And I think that there's, and that kind of stopped when I got into secondary school for whatever reason. But it kind of reminded me of like performing again.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And I think that so that kind of interested me even more. So anyway, so then I took the plunge and I paid for my training and signed up to do a level two kind of base qualification, and I did it remotely. So at the time I was
Interesting,
working
okay.
flight attendant, but I was also doing a lot of travel. So I would work for I would fly for work, and then I would go off and do you know, my own trips. And so wherever I was, I could do some work towards my qualification. And I remember being sat in the in Boracay in the Philippines on the beach, trying to learn about the oxygen systems of the body, and it just was not going in because I was in such an incredible place. But and it probably took me a little bit longer than what it would have done if I was sat at a desk every day learning. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got into my, you know, training to become an instructor.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I just want to pick up on the remote thing here, actually, because there might be some people out there who want to get a fitness qualification, and they didn't realize that actually, it can be done remotely. Because I think a lot of people, especially my listeners, there'll be people with full-time jobs who would find it difficult to like dedicate like in-person time, but they would want to learn, you know, according to their own hours. So like, tell us a little bit more about how the program actually worked, because obviously the kind of like theory side of it, as in all of that biology stuff, the anatomy stuff, I understand how that can be on an online module, but how did kind of like the practical element work?
Yeah, so to be honest, these days the majority of training providers, their programs are for people that want to work remotely because, as you said, you know, people have got other commitments, and it's not really an option for people to just quit work and, you know, train to become a fitness instructor or a personal trainer. But yeah, you're right. The anatomy and physiology and all that kind of stuff, you can do from wherever you want. And then you do have to show up to the classroom for a few days too. I chose to do up mine in one block. So I think we just, you know, we went for like a 4 day assessment at the end of it, where we would show up to class, and it was just kind of full days of practical assessment and presentation. And I think that's actually really important because, you know, remote working's great, but especially when you're working with people, people's bodies, you need to demonstrate that you're competent. So yeah, there's still an element of practical training, but you could spread those days out. So you could do like 4 weekends, or, you know, I just chose to do mine all together because my job allowed me to.
Yeah, no, that's good to know that it's like super flexible. Okay, amazing. So you qualified as a fitness instructor. Did so at that point, you're still working as a flight attendant, right? So were you doing more long haul by that time?
Yes, so I changed, and I was based in Heathrow, working for a long haul airline. So I was getting more time off, and I was starting to actually shift my thinking to, oh, I'm getting all this time off, you know, so maybe I should think about making like a job out of this.
Amazing. Okay, so I know that that led you to teaching on some schedules in gyms in London. So how did you like take that kind of initial like light bulb moment to actually getting those jobs? Because I mean, for me, I qualified as a yoga teacher almost a year ago now. And I wanted to just get a bit more of experience in London before I moved to Bali. And it's very, very competitive. And I found the Facebook groups for cover jobs quite useful, but you had to be super on it. And like, if I could tell if I wanted to apply to a full-time role, that would have been really, really challenging. So yeah, I'd love to hear how it all worked for you.
Yeah, so I actually started teaching Les Mills programs initially, and still do now. And the great thing about Les Mills, so if, for anybody that doesn't know who Les Mills are, Les Mills are a huge fitness organization based in New Zealand that provide fitness classes to big clubs all around the world. And the great thing about, so actually Les Mills create Body Pump, Body Attack, Body Combat, all of these programs that people have more likely heard of. I think everybody knows, you know, anybody that, that goes to the gym has heard of a Body Pump class. But the great thing about Les Mills is you've got a massive network of instructors all around the world that are connected to the cause, right? So I went off to do, so my first module was Body Attack. When I had finished the weekend training, I went back to my club in Ealing, and I already knew people who I could team teach with. So we would teach the class together. But by this point, obviously I'm not getting paid for the work. This is for me to practice. So I had connections immediately, really, but when I started to get work, exactly like you said, so there's like lots of Facebook groups in London for cover work. So if somebody's ill or away on holiday, they'll advertise their class for cover. And you got to be really quick. So if somebody says, oh, can anybody teach this cycle class in, you know, whatever gym? And it's a lot of the time it's the first person to comment. So you've just got to be really quick and on it. And you've got to really put yourself out there. So I was getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning in the winter to travel right across London to teach a, you know, a 30-minute cycle class. For probably not much more money than what it would cost me to get there and back. But in the in those early stages, it's just what you've got to do.
Yeah, exactly. I remember literally just sitting on one of these Facebook groups, like refreshing it and then seeing one and then commenting. And then the woman's like, can you send me your insurance certificate? And I'm like, God, quickly buy Google Fitness Insurance, quick buy, download.
And that's, and there's a lot, there's a lot of things like insurance and, or, you know, you can't just walk into Virgin Active or Fitness First and start teaching there. You need to, a lot of the time, you need to have done an audition to get on their payroll systems. And, you know, so it's kind of, it's complex, but what once you're in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's doable. You've just got to work hard. You've got to want it and make the effort, I think. And networking, I think, is key as well. Like you said, it's great that Les Mills has the community element to it, I think. Okay, amazing. So did you end up getting a regular slot then, I assume, in some of the gyms?
I did. Initially, I just used to cover classes, and that was the plan. I didn't really want any permanent classes because then it would be harder for me to work around my flying job. Yeah. But then I kind of couldn't resist when I was offered classes. So I did take some permanent classes, and I still have those classes today. I've got some... I've got some slots on, you know, peak time timetables in big gyms, and they're all classes that I absolutely love teaching. And a lot of the time it doesn't even feel like work. Because I know my members well, and we have a, you know, we just have a great time a lot of the time. And so I did take on some permanent classes that I can't teach every single week because, you know, I may be away with work, or I might be delivering a workout away holiday somewhere, and then I just get cover myself. So, you know, somebody else will jump in and look after my class for that week.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I think that's amazing, and I think that's a really useful insight to anyone thinking about like picking up a fitness instructor kind of qualification or PT, and how you can go about doing it, especially with like a job on the side. But now I want to take it to work out a way, and I want to chat more about this business that you've built and kind of how you initially took action. So let's paint the picture then. So you're doing these long haul flights. You're teaching in some gyms in London. At what point did you decide, oh, I'm going to do something else as well?
Yes, I'm now doing two jobs. And I, to be honest, I can kind of rewind way back to when I was a hairdresser working for Tony and Guy. I always knew that I wanted to start my own business of some sort. And I don't really know why I had that kind of drive within me. I don't know where that's really come from, but at that time, I thought I would open my own salon, and because that was kind of the done thing, if you wanted to progress in that industry. And then, but yeah, as my interests changed and as I developed this, career in fitness that I just never really expected would happen, I thought to myself, I was actually quite confused because I didn't, and I now really didn't know what I wanted to do anymore. I knew that I wanted to start my own business, but I didn't know what I wanted to do, what type of business I wanted to start.
Yeah,
So
I know that feeling, and I think, do you know what? I think so many people listening at this point is gonna go, oh, I totally identify with that. And it's so frustrating to have, you've got the skills, you've got the intent, like you could make something work, but the feeling of like, what is it? What do I do? I haven't got an idea. It's so frustrating. It's like a limbo situation.
And it's a situation that I've never found myself in before because I had always been so sure of what I wanted to do. So I would say there was probably a period of a year or two where I was just on the fence. I was still really enjoying my job as a flight attendant, but I kind of needed what I wanted more. So yeah, I had a few different ideas and I did a little bit of background work on each of these ideas, and I would say there was two kind of events that led up to Workout Away actually becoming a thing. One of them was I actually was just looking for a holiday for myself to go on. I've done a load of solo traveling. I really enjoyed traveling alone, and I was looking for a fitness holiday. So I went onto Google and I found about a million yoga retreats,
I
and
love
that's not
it.
something that I was keen on. And I found a lot of boot camps, like weight loss boot camps, where you could go and spend a few weeks in a boot camp and lose loads of weight and get fit fast. But that really wasn't what I was looking for either. What I was looking for is a holiday that I could go on with a group of people and just get involved in a little bit of everything, from HIIT training to strength training to, yeah, maybe a bit of yoga as well, or some surfing, I don't know, just something that was different. And I really couldn't find what I was looking for. So that's when the seed was planted for me that I could potentially be onto something, because there must be other people that were in my position looking for the same thing.
Yeah, and I loved what you said when we were chatting before as well, because it like is exactly the same as me. Like you wanted somewhere where you can work out like really hard in the day, you can like enjoy the sun or the nice weather or the nice like landscape, but then equally in the evening you can get dressed up and have a glass of wine with like friends. And like a lot of these retreats out there just like super hardcore, and I understand how that can be useful sometimes if you really need like a transformation or to shake things up in your life. But
Definitely.
sometimes like you want that mixture of fun as well, like because you earned it in the day.
No, you're absolutely right. And I actually met a girl once in Thailand that had just done a yoga retreat, and it was like a detoxing retreat. And she just finished the retreat that day, and then she was out, going absolutely crazy. Because I think when you're told that you can't do something, you just want to do it even more. So,
Oh
if
my
you're told her you're not allowed to drink, then it's just not really. I think, like you said, that's for some people that's great, but it's not what I wanted. I'm not saying I wanted to go out and go crazy on a night, but I just wanted freedom to be able to make my own decisions and, yeah, have a glass of wine to watch the sunset go down or whatever.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, so then you notice this gap or this frustration, at least. You couldn't book this holiday. So then what did you do?
I started to explore it a little bit further. And one of the other things probably worth mentioning is the holidays that I did find were extremely expensive. I'm talking like, you know, a couple of £1,000 for a week away. Usually not including flights. So I thought, you know, maybe I could bring something to the market that's more affordable, to make fitness more, you know, fitness holidays more accessible for people. So I started to do a little bit of research and put some costings together. At that point, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't thinking, right, this is the business that I'm going to start. I was just basically just exploring. And that went on for a few months. The other kind of turning point, I went to visit a friend of mine in Perth, Australia. And she, I've known her for about 17 years. I know back from when I worked at Tony Guy, she worked there too.
Aww.
And she's just somebody that I've always looked up to. She went on to run her own successful businesses. She's a great friend of mine, but I also see her as a mentor. And yes, yeah, so I went to visit my friend Emma. In Perth, and she said to me, I think she was in a little bit of a phase herself of wanting to do something new, and we were just chatting and brainstorming, and she said to me, Chris, she said, you just need to take one of your ideas and go for it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'll never forget that. Like, she probably can't even remember saying it, but I left her house that day and I thought, oh, she's, you know, she's exactly right. I just need to take one of the ideas and go for it.
Yeah.
There's always going to be an element of risk with any new business or venture. And as long as that's calculated, then, you know, there'll always be that risk. And so I think from that day, I thought, right, it's game on. I've got to go for it. And I've got to start to make some progress, because I think a lot of people probably sit on ideas, or they have a good idea but they don't have the confidence, or maybe the finances behind them to go for it and actually start to make progress. So yeah, that was a bit of a turning point for me.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I totally agree with you. I think at that point, it's kind of a bit of fear as well that stops people from taking action. But I think, and you, once you've taken the action, like, I now can reflect back to that time and say, I don't know what I was waiting for. What did I think was going to come along? Like, 100% certainty that this was going to be a success. I knew at the time that's impossible. It's not going to come along. So I don't really know what I was waiting for. You really just have to jump into it, I think.
I think one of the hardest things, or one of the things that I was most worried about, is telling everybody what I was about to do. Because as soon as you know, tell the world that you're about to start this new venture, people create expectations. And that puts pressure on you. You know, and you've got all of these thoughts, and I'm really positive, and I kind of go into everything just, and I try to go into every situation with a view that, you know, with a view of success. You know, it's going to work. Of course, it's going to work. Why wouldn't it? But at the same time, there's always going to be a thought in the back of your mind of, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What will people think? You know, will I be embarrassed? Or so I think one of the hardest things, is to to go public about what you're about to do.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. And like, I remember back to like a couple of my ideas that I say I was working on before, like, I actually took proper action on the one I'm like working on currently. A lot of my friends would be like, oh, how's it going? And I just would like want to withdraw because it was so much pressure. Like, there's not really much that's happened since you last asked me last week. You know, and I know they've got the best intentions, but I can totally relate to you.
And then on the flip side as well, because I started work out away on my own, you kind of need the support of people, you know, your people around you, your close friends and family. And one of the things that I found was that support's not always going to come from the people that you expect. Yeah. My family are amazing and have been completely supportive. And I'm so lucky to have, a great family around me, but just a few, I wouldn't say close friends, but, people that I'm friends with, I would go and see them and visit them when I was in really early stages of Work Hathaway. And I'd spend an hour having coffee or whatever, and they wouldn't ask me a single thing about Work Hathaway. And I, that was quite frustrating at the same time that I didn't have support from people that I thought I would have done. Like, I get that not everybody's going to be excited as it as I am, because it's not their business, but
I know what you mean. Okay, so I would like to just talk about the first kind of few steps you took to kind of take action on starting the business, because I think like lots of people out there might want to like run a retreat. Maybe they're yoga teachers or maybe they're like fitness instructors. And I know yours aren't retreats, but like, a similar kind of like week away or something like that. But what were the first few steps that you actually put in place to start?
After I'd kind of, gone away that day from my friend's place in Australia, in my head it was time to get serious. And that's when I formed the business and started to, really get down to work. I was 29 years old and I was turning 30, and in my head that was a big deal as well. And I thought that I think turning 30, it's kind of, well, for me, it was like, right, you're an adult now. And because I knew that I was starting this business that would limit my ability to travel a little bit, I went off on a big 3-month trip.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it was just kind of, it was a little bit of a treat for my 30th birthday, but also I just wanted some time away where I could really reflect and get myself and my head in line, and create a very clear path of how I wanted to move forward with my business. So yeah, I did a I went off on this trip and I didn't really have an itinerary, and I visited some amazing places. I was in Hawaii for my 30th.
Oh, beautiful. Really want to go there.
I'll never forget it. It was absolutely gorgeous. But yeah, every day on my trip, I would sit down and I'd do a little bit of work. And I met some amazing people that I would chat to, and I'd get inspired by different people. And so yeah, I went on that trip, and so I could really have a think about what exactly I wanted to achieve. I decided that one of the things that I wanted to do was to offer a consistent product across multiple locations. So, you log on to Work Hathaway, you can choose a holiday in Greece or in Portugal or here in the UK. But I wanted to make sure that the experience would be the same wherever you were. So if you went on a Work Hathaway holiday in Portugal and your friend went to India, you would have a very similar type of experience. So then I needed to think about exactly how I would implement that. And I would need to recruit some instructors, and I would need to have a training program so everybody was on the same page. And yeah, so I guess that I started to do all that stuff when I was away on my trip. And then I think the other thing, like, worth mentioning is I didn't go to, when I left school, I went straight into full-time work. I didn't go to university. I didn't study for a degree, so I needed to do some learning as well. And I'm not particularly, I wouldn't say I'm an academic person, so I use podcasts. And I would just sit and listen to podcasts instead of music. Normally, when I would stick my iPod in, I would just, use that time to listen to a podcast and just try and learn as much as I could. Yeah, and then I had a really long think about what exactly I wanted the brand to look like and how I wanted that to feel. And I had to think about my marketing and how I would sell these holidays and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I think that sounds, I'm picking up on such a trend when I'm speaking to people who, when they identify that they want to start a business, that so many people take themselves away, like traveling, to really open and broaden their minds. And I did that as well. I think it's, we can say we're so fortunate to be in a position that we can do that. But I think if you can, I think it's definitely like an amazing thing to do.
I think even now, like, every now and then, I just feel the need to take myself off, even if it's for a couple of nights. Maybe I've had a busy time, or and even if, maybe Even if you just go and visit a friend that's in another city, and you know, and you can just have some time out of your own environment where you haven't got distractions of, you know, your
Yeah.
housemate walking through the door or the laundry or whatever. Just some, you know, some an area to really kind of, you know, straighten things out.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree. Okay, so let's fast forward then to your first holiday that you organized. I'd love to understand kind of how you went about like selling your first spaces, because that's when it gets really real. And I think one of the biggest worries that people have about organizing this kind of thing is the risk element. Am I going to cover all my costs? I've booked all of these things. So I'd love for you to chat a bit about that.
So one of the most important things we did is we went to exhibit at Balance Festival,
Oh, yeah.
which, yeah, anybody that's keen on fitness has probably heard of Balance Festival. It's probably if one of the biggest, if not the biggest, festivals in the UK, fitness festivals. So there was a load of work that went into the business and the brand before Balance, so that when we turned up at Balance, as a brand that nobody had heard of, we could put on a great show. So yeah, we actually before that we ran a trip where it was like a trial trip. So I roped in a lot of friends and we went away and we ran a workout away holiday. So we could gather content that we could then use down the line for our marketing and our advertising. So we went to Balance Festival, and the interest was amazing. I think I had about 6 people on the stand working on the Saturday, which is the busiest consumer day. And at one point, I turned around and everybody was talking to you know, to a potential customer, and I thought to myself, wow, like we're definitely
Wow.
onto
That's
the interest.
amazing.
Yeah, like the interest was incredible. And really, I didn't really know what we would get out of the festival. The main thing we wanted to do was to create or increase our brand awareness. But we actually sold holidays.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a turning point for the business, because obviously, you know, a lot of work had gone into creating these amazing holidays and a really
Yeah.
nice website and Instagram page and all that. But then the proof was, are we actually going to sell any of these trips? So yeah, that's where it all started at Balance in
Yeah, wow.
2019, last April or May.
That's I can totally see why that would work as well, because you walk around those fitness festivals and there's so many like food brands and things like that, and then if you saw like a holiday, that would definitely get my interest.
Well, do you know what? When I was talking to the festival organisers, they didn't really know where to place us within the festival, because you've got about four different zones. You've got clothing, you've got food, then you've got the boutique studios, and yeah, they didn't really know where to put a fitness holiday company, because we
Yeah.
didn't fit into any particular box. So we actually went. We sat alongside the activewear brands, which is a really good place to be, because in the food zone, most people are just walking past for a free sample, as we did when we were on our breaks.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more, it's a lot busier, and it's a little bit more chaotic. Whereas where are the activewear brands, where people were kind of grazing a little bit more and taking their time. So it was a great place for us to actually stop people and to talk about our holidays.
Yeah, amazing. So you sold and converted a few people at the festival. What other kind of methods of sales and marketing were you doing like initially for the first one?
We did and still do a lot of social media advertising, so we invest heavily in our Instagram adverts and Facebook as well. And those ads go across Instagram feed, stories, marketplace,
Nice.
any kind of platform within the Facebook group. And then also, I think social media advertising is fantastic, but I also think that word of mouth is still equally as important.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that would come to my classes in the gym would ask about the holidays, and friends of my instructors would also want to come along on the holidays. And yeah, so How incredible is it when somebody's been on one of our trips that then recommends that our trips to a friend, and that's happened as well. So it's a trust thing, especially with a big purchase like a holiday. A lot of the time, if you know somebody that's been on one of the trips, you're probably going to be a lot more keen on.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, and I just want to ask you a little bit about the other side of it. So, in terms of like finding a location and making sure like the accommodation and the space and everything is good, like I guess without necessarily going there every time, or maybe that is something that you do, like what advice do you have for people for kind of like checking out a place and making sure that it's going to be good?
Finding accommodation was the hardest thing because there's like two main things that you're looking for. Like we need loads of outdoor space. We want to be on the beach. We want beautiful bedrooms and nice restaurants to eat in. So you've got to find somewhere that provides all of this stuff that you're looking for. And I would say, like, I kind of set out on the search, and I thought I'm not compromising on the standard that I'm looking for, and I was very clear about that. But then, when you do find the perfect venue, you've then got the commercial element to consider as well. So, is the agreement right that you've got with your provider, and does it make business sense? Because it's important not to get carried away. At the same time, you're still running a business, so everything from that end's got to stack up too. And yeah, like my search for accommodation providers started online. I looked at hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of places. I flew out to Portugal, for example. Well, I flew out to every destination that we go to, but and I spent the whole day just going from venue to venue to venue, and they all kind of blend into one. So I would take pictures and take notes, and then yeah, it was a big search.
Okay. But definitely good tips. Okay, so that is a really, really helpful like insight into how you actually started and how you got your first one sold and executed on. I would love to kind of just like paint the picture again and just remind everyone that still at this time you have your flight job and your gym's job, and I believe that you still do today. But I think that this is like great because as I understand from chatting to you, like you enjoy every single element of it. And I know that probably like it means that you're super, super busy, but like linking it to the remote thing as well, you've chosen a business that really you can work on like from anywhere. So I'd love for you to just kind of comment on your life as it is now, like balancing these three different jobs, if you like, and what that's like, and like what it's like working remotely, I guess, on the business in between and things. Loaded question.
And I think it's important to be realistic, and I won't lie, it's really hard. I'm working three jobs at the moment because the business is still in relatively early stages. Now, yes, you are quite right. So, for example, my classes, I would say that I do them for the enjoyment. And if I stop teaching a couple of those classes, then the impact to me would be low. But prioritizing tasks and just being really organized is how I kind of get through the day. Work Out Away does take the majority of my time, and moving forward as the business starts to grow, then my other jobs will slim down a little bit. Ultimately, Work Out Away will be my full-time job, because that's why I started the business, but nothing happened overnight. And I think that there's, a lot of people talk about, maybe friends that have started businesses, and they say, oh, Susie started a business and it just took off. And
I wish.
A lot of hard work that goes into it. Sometimes I'm sat, I don't know, in whatever city around the world in the middle of the night because I'm jet lagged and I'm sat working on my Instagram campaign or whatever. Yeah, you just have, I mean, for me, I just have to be really organized. I have to decide on what's really important, what can wait, and keep on top of everything. Thing is, with my schedule, it's very varied. So I can't, I can't look at my calendar and say, okay, Monday morning between 10 and 12, I'm going to work on my campaigns. And then at 1 o'clock, I'll switch and I'll start to program workouts for the holidays next year. It doesn't really work like that.
Yeah, well, it's a super like refreshing insight though. Like, I think, like, I appreciate your honesty because I think, anyone that's going to start a business goes through like working super hard. It is not easy, and you do have to do a lot of balancing and a lot of like everyone talks about the hustle at the start and things. But I'd love for you to like talk a little bit about. Because we were talking about this earlier, and I was saying to you that I do actually know a few people who are flight attendants who have their own job as well. And I'd love for you to kind of comment on what that's like being a flight attendant and being able to work on your own business. And I guess, like, especially long haul, I know that they put you up for a night or two, like in some of these places and stuff. Like, how does that kind of work? And what's your thoughts on balancing that specific job with running a business?
Well, I mean, it's a fantastic job to blend with doing something else. And a lot of my colleagues that I work with at the airline may have their own families, and so that maybe that's their other job, having a family. Other people study, other people have their own businesses, and it's a great job. And to be honest, I don't really know any other job that would provide the time off and the flexibility, because the other thing is if you get given a flight on, I don't know, on next Tuesday, you can swap it and go on Wednesday instead. And
So
so
true.
it's yeah, I really don't know any other job that provides the flexibility that job does for me. So I'm very lucky. I use my time away actually to chill. Because when I'm here in London, a lot of the time I'm crazy busy, kind of from the back end, working on the holidays and all of the stuff involved in organizing all of those events. So when I actually go away on a work trip, a lot of, I try and use that as my downtime. So I'll, take that night and day to enjoy the city that I'm in, see my friends, and just have some switch off time.
The whole like flight attendant thing like incorporates this travel element which you love, and I just think lots of people love. So definitely worth thinking about if people need to kind of like have a job on the side while starting a business, I think.
It all depends on kind of what type of flights you do. If you work short haul flights, then it's quite a different job because you work every day. So it doesn't provide the big blocks of time off that let's say you get as a long haul flight attendant, but then you're at home every night. So it really depends on what you want.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, we're kind of coming up to time now. But that's such an amazing insight, and I think everyone's going to be so inspired. And yeah, I just think that was a super actionable kind of like step by step of how you started. So yeah, thank you for being so honest. But I end on a quick fire round. So it's just three short questions. So the first one, this might be quite difficult for you given that you've been to so many places, but what's your favorite place that you've ever traveled to?
Okay, it's an easy one for me to answer, and the
Okay.
answer is India.
India, yes, I went last year. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's just incredible. And a lot of time people, I get asked that question a lot. I've traveled, I've been really lucky. Obviously traveling from working for an airline, we get travel benefits as well, so you can travel. We don't travel for free. I think everybody thinks we travel for free, but we don't. But yes, you get discounted tickets so you can travel around the world. And I've been to lots of places, but India for me is just somewhere that I go, especially in the south, south goer especially, where I can just, I don't know what it is about the place, but I can completely switch off. The days roll into one, and I don't know. I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a very spiritual person, but I'm gonna say it's my spiritual home because
Yeah.
I can switch off there in a way that I can't do anywhere else.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I do think it's such a special place. Okay, then the second question, you might be familiar with this one, but
Yeah.
basically the name of the podcast is the Well and Wild podcast because I believe that to be well in life, you need to sometimes do some wild things,
Yes.
like go against the norm, basically. So what's the wildest thing that you've ever done?
Oh, the wildest thing I've done. I think really, I don't know if there's one thing that sticks out in my mind as, a crazy thing that I've done. But even, on the 3 month trip that I talked about earlier,
Yeah.
The majority of people that I'm mixed with are in the corporate world or, are very settled. And when I went away on that trip, I was living in a really nice flat that I had in London, and I lived there on my own. And I said to my friends and family, okay, I'm moving out my flat and I'm going off for 3 months. I'm just going with my backpack. I'm not making any plans and I'll see you in 3 months. And my parents were a bit like, okay, maybe you shouldn't move out of your flat. Let's just keep
Yeah.
that as, so it's there when you get back. And I was like, no, I just want to kind of have no ties and just feel that up kind of no I wanted to feel kind of uprooted for a few months. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
So I moved
definitely
out, I put
think
a
that's.
backpack on and I went off.
Yeah, no, I definitely that's a good answer. And I kind of relate to it as well. Okay, and
Yeah.
then finally, what would you say is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given or something that you kind of like live by?
I think one of the things that I live by, so this is kind of more relating to my business, is I always try and live in the future. And by that, I just mean like being a step ahead. So, my customers, my employee, and well, the people that work alongside me, they can be in the present. But as a business owner and as a leader, I always need to be one step ahead. So I'm kind of always living in the future. And in my head now, I'm selling holidays for summer 2020, but really I'm already in 2022 as far as
Yeah.
planning goes. And so I think that yeah, if you want to be innovative, you've got to be living in the future.
Almost like that thinking big principle as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like I've got some dreams that, if I was to tell people about them, they'd probably say I was crazy. But even if all your dreams don't come off, you gotta have dreams,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, it all starts with that. All these massive
Yeah.
companies, like even like Amazon, that was a concept once, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. That's amazing. So where can the listeners find you? What holidays have you got coming up? I'll also post all these links in the show notes as well.
Yeah, so the best place to find us is at workoutaway.com. Really easy to remember. You can find details of all our holidays on workoutaway.com. You can also watch some videos of things we get up to on our holidays. And you'll also obviously find prices and everything on there too of all our trips. We run trips pretty much all throughout the year. So more so in the summer. You can book any of our trips with a £99 deposit, so it's really easy to get your name on the list.
Nice.
And then also we're really active on Instagram, so work out a way on Instagram, all one word, you'll find us there. And also if any of our any listeners have got any questions about our holidays, you can contact us through the website or on Instagram. Just send us a message and we'll be more than happy to tell you about all the great things that we get up to on our trips.
Amazing. Yeah, I'll definitely put all those links in the show notes. And if anyone
Cool.
books on, you might even be lucky enough to have Amanda as one of your instructors. So that's the link to
Yeah.
Chris on How I Know
Oh,
Chris.
Amanda's fantastic. Yeah, she's one of my group fitness leaders. So she
Yeah.
works alongside me in Greece, Portugal and here in the UK. So,
Amazing.
yeah.
Yeah, and she is one of my best friends, and she happened to be one of my guests on one of the previous podcasts as well.
I
So
haven't
that's
listened to
super
that and I didn't even
exciting.
know that. So I'm going to go
Oh,
straight
I'll
to that
send
and
it to
have a
you.
listen now.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. She was one of my earlier ones. But yeah,
Yeah.
Chris, that was amazing. Thank you so much for your
Oh,
time
thank you so
and
much
sharing
for
your
having me.
story. I hope that you enjoyed that episode. If you enjoyed it, please send it on to one friend or share on your social media. I'd really, really appreciate it. I'd love to get Chris's story out to more people to have more of an impact on more and more people. And your help would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I shall speak to you next week.